very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us for this time of worship. Wherever you are, we want to greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we may not be gathering together in one location, but I believe we are gathered together with one heart and one mind, just wanting to worship God with the intent of growing closer in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and also to help one another with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we have stepped into the new year, I believe it's a wonderful time for us to reflect on the past year, taking stocks of what has happened in our life, particularly to remember God's faithfulness, God's love in our life. I believe many of us have taken some time to refocus our goals for the coming year. As we refocus our goals for the coming year, I believe this new year also brings a lot of questions to many of us. Questions about life, questions about our faith, about health, about family, about our jobs. And when we look around, we tend to ask questions about whether things will return to normal. Will the economy improve? Will there be another natural disaster that will isolate us or even bring us back into our homes again? Some of us might even go and ask this question, will I be able to see the end of the year? You know, these questions are genuine questions and they are tough questions too. But we thank God for His Word because God's Word, He speaks to us and we see answers to the questions that we have in our life. Today, I want to look at Psalm 121 on the theme, Our Guide and Our God. Before we open God's Word, let's open our hearts and ask God to speak to us. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the joy of knowing You, and we thank You, Lord, that we have access to Your Word, which is so powerful, O God, sharper than the two-edged sword. We pray that as we listen to Your words, O God, we pray that Your Spirit will continue to work in our lives, that our love for You will be rekindled again, that Christ will become our priority. Help us in our journey. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen. Psalm 121 is the psalm that we want to focus today. It carries a beautiful passage that talks about guidance and strength that God is giving to His people who are on a journey to Jerusalem. And even to us, when we look at this particular psalm, it talks about God's presence and faithfulness even in our life journey. It speaks so profoundly about God's love and care and protection for His people. The same note, the psalm also gives us just direction for the weeks and months that lies ahead of us. In verse 1, David writes like this, and let me read verse 1 and 2. He says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And in verse 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Can you imagine David, when David is writing, he's just remembering his journey to Jerusalem and even the pilgrims going back to Jerusalem. When they look at the mountains, they were reminded of God. And they were returning back and Jerusalem is at the back. And then he's asking that question, where does my help come from? Wonderful question. A very relevant question, even in today's context too. Many a times, I think we have even asked this context in this question, even in our lives. Maybe we have asked it last month. We asked this question when we were stepping into the new year. Or even right now, some of us might be even asking this question, where will my help come from? Because all of us need help, my friend. We need help when the wind is against us. When the wind is against us, we tend to look at ourselves. We look at the resources that we have, and then we realize that we are limited people, that our resources, our strength is not able to help us the way we want to be helped. We need help. And so we also look at the sides. We look at friends, our close contacts, or even our relatives to give us help in times of need. There are moments that our eyes are drawn to wrong places, or even to people, someone, or even something. And we tend to realize there are so much things that people are able to do that we still need help in our life. Interestingly, you know, David is not only asking the question, where does my help come from? He's also answering the question. He says, you know, my help comes from the Lord. But before that, he says, in verse 1, he says, you know, my eyes lift up to the hills. Have you ever wondered why is David saying, my eyes lift up to the hills? Why the hills? Why is he talking about the mountains? Firstly, when I look at the passage, I realize David wanted to embrace his experiences. I believe he was not looking out of his palace window, just enjoying the scenic view, the mountains. I believe when he was looking at the mountain, he saw his life flash before his eyes. He remembered moving from one hill to another, from one cave to another, hiding in the back of a cave while King Saul was just coming up to him. There are numerous passages that talks about David who was in danger. In Psalm 11, when you read that particular psalm, you realize that he is running away. And God says, flee. The Lord tells David, flee like a bird to the mountain, because Saul was just coming after his life. When David was dwelling in the desert of Ziph, he nearly fell into the hands of Saul because someone betrayed him. Can you imagine the challenging moment of his life, the difficult moments of his life? He was going through, you know, times of difficulties. There's a time that David was just running away to the mountains of Judah, and he made it as his home. He needed food. He needed weapons. And he was able to obtain from the city of Nob. There were times of need. It was also met. In another occasion, he realized that he was just running eastward, and he sought refuge in one of the caves near Adullam, in the plains of Judah, where he was able to see his father's house and his brothers coming around him, and others who were in distress came. It was a wonderful time of connecting with people who were very familiar to him. There were times of joy too. And as we continue to study, you realize there was a time that even Jonathan came to meet up with David. It was a time that David felt strengthened because Jonathan told him, he said, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I'll be next to thee. So when you look at the things that was happening in the mind life of David, I believe when David looked at the hills, the mountains, he was looking at his life, moments of darkness, hopelessness, and moments of support, moments of hope, and moments of confidence. You know, likewise, I believe when we look last year, many of us would say it was a period of learning. We learn about life. We learn about who we are. We learn about so many things. I believe this time of pandemic, that it has taught many of us that life is so important and it is God's gift to us. The importance of family, that we need to treasure. The importance of having faith and having confidence in God and the importance of community, reaching out to one another and being there. Dear friends, I think today we need to ask ourselves as we look back, what did we learn from these experiences? What are the things that we have learned? Some might be good ones, some of the things might be things that we need to be leaving behind. You know, living by reflecting on the past helps us not only to repeat the wrong turns that we have taken, but it also helps us to make the right decisions as we move forward into this new year. I believe when we look back, some of us would have said, I should have actually made a different turn. I would have should have decided differently. I recently came a quote, and this person said, no one can go back and start a new beginning. But he also said, but everyone or anyone can start today and make a new ending. You know, David was looking at his experiences. He was looking at the mountains. He was looking at the hills. He was just reminded of the way God has been so faithful, even in the midst of danger, even in the midst of difficulties, my friend. He saw God's faithfulness there in his life. Dear friends, I think, what are the things that you have learned? What are the things that will help you as you continue in this new year? Secondly, when you look at the passage, David also says, he says, I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Right? He says, where does my help come from? And he answers, he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Wonderful. Right? He answers his question. He knows his answer pretty well. He says, my help comes from the Lord. And he doesn't stop there. He says, this Lord is the maker of heaven and earth. He's the maker of heaven and earth. I believe when he remembers that even in the darkest moments of his life, when he was just running away, God was still there, just leading him, protecting him, fulfilling the promise that God has given him when he was a youth. Or even when it seems impossible, that God was faithful. Or even David was looking at the moments he was not able to perceive God's help. But he realized, God was there when I thought he was not there. You know, it's so beautiful when you look at the passage, the way David sees God. And today, how do we see God? How big is our God? How do we see him? David says, in this particular verse, he says, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And in verses 3-8, he says, the Lord who watches. Firstly, he sees God, the maker. In other words, David sees God as the creator, the beginning and the end. Not only he is the one who created the mountains, but he is the one who has started everything, my friend. The heavens and the earth. And this is important. This is very significant, my friend. He sees God as so powerful, a God who's a creator. And because of his view of God is so powerful, he has full confidence in the helper. We live in a time and an age where many people believe that the cosmos is only an accident, without a design or even without a designer. Even some philosophies or even traditions maintain that parts of the universe did not proceed from God. But as Christians, we believe that everything that exists traces its existence and reality to the act of God, and that God is the creator of heaven and earth. Today, my friend, how do we see God today? Do we see God as our creator, that he owns everything, that everything begins from Him. That He's sovereign, is the one who sustains everything. I believe many of us will agree with me that we live in an age and time that we have different creators. In other words, we are sin of worshipping the creation rather than the creator. Things becomes our priority. Things becomes our idol. There are certain things that becomes our idols, my friend. But is God our God? Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6, he says, Lord, You are God alone. You have made heavens and earth. That he saw God, that he says, You are the Lord alone. How's our view about God today? Do we see Him as the one who has created everything? Since He created everything, He knows everything. And He's all powerful and His presence is felt everywhere. Secondly, when you look at the passage from verses 3 to 8, you know, David speaks about God as our God, a God who continues to guard us. The Hebrew word, now it is translated as keep or to preserve. The one who watches or the one who guards, you know, it means the one who preserves us. It is almost used 6 times in these 6 verses to describe our God. He did not just create us and just left us alone. Not only God sustains us, but we see God as guarding us. In verse 3, he says, He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. In verse 5 and 6, he says, The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. And then he also says in 6 and 7, The sun will not strike you day by day or the moon by night. And in verse 7 and 8, he says, The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep you from all evil. What a powerful thing that David is speaking about God. He's not a God who just created and left everything, but he's a God who guards his people, my friend, who guards his people. The word here is so rich that he watches over us. Can you imagine? God is watching over us right now in whatever situation we might be in, my friend. When our confidence and our trust is in God, He watches us. The word here is very powerful because that same word is used in different passages of the Bible. For example, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you see it was used to describe a gardener who takes care of his garden. He loves his garden. He's there tending his garden. That's the way God watches us, my friend. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3, and a man watching over a house, because that's his house, his home. He watches. He wants to make sure everything is fine and well. That's the way God watches his people, my friend. And in Genesis chapter 30, verse 31, the shepherd is watching over his flock. So nothing will be able to snatch the flock away from him. That's the way that God is watching. You know, I like when David concludes by, in verse, he says, The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. You know, this is an expression to capture all the movements of your everyday life, my friend. You know, that God is aware of every movement of us because we are so special in the sight of God. God is there throughout. Keeping watch. What a powerful, a wonderful God we have. So my friend, how do we see God today? It's the way we see God, the way we trust Him will help us throughout these days. Charles Wesley, right, beautifully says in his hymn, he says, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, ah, whither shall I go? He says, Lord, if you take your help away from me, where shall I go? It's only you are able to help. The great reformer Martin Luther, when he penned the words of a beautiful word, hymn, he says, a mighty fortress is our God, never failing, our helper. What a powerful reminder. There are moments we tend to ask ourselves, you know, why then does God allow pain and suffering? There are times in scriptures that, you know, we see that God allows pain in our life. Even though he allows pain, right, he understands our pain too. Trials are often to strengthen our faith, to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. There are moments that God uses our difficulties to keep us from becoming complacent in our spiritual walk. But even in those moments when our trust is in God, he gives us the strength to face it, my friend, and to face it with all joy. You know, in conclusion, when I look at the word, you know, in six times, the psalmist is using a singular form. He uses the word you. In other words, the Lord is not only speaking to the people, his people, but to each and every person, to each and every one of us. That's the God that we have. He's a very personal God, my friend. And today, how do we see God today? Do we see him just a God who's there, a creator? But do you see him as a God who's not only creator, who knows everything, but he's a God who guards us, protects us, and each and every one of us are special to him. Like the psalmist, can we boldly say that my help comes from God? Let me conclude with a story I read. And this story will help us to see what is our priority in life. It's about a wealthy man who once bought a famous picture of Jesus. He was so excited because it was a very famous, and he spent quite a bit of money to buy that particular picture. And so he hired a Christian decorator to help him place it correctly in his house. He said, you know, I want it to be in the right spot that it will be visible. So this Christian decorator came. He came to the living room, then he realized there was the alcohol bars were there. And there were large TV screens. Very flashy deco. And so he realized that he couldn't place the picture of Jesus there because that was not fitting the particular place. And he went to another room and he realized the walls were filled with so many other things that he tried, and he realized, you know, this beautiful picture has no meaning in this room too. At last, he spoke to the owner. He said, sir, you know, you can't place this picture in your home. He said, you must get rid of this home and build a home specially fitted for this picture. He said, you must get rid of this home and build a home specially fitted for it. Now, we realize that there are moments in our life we just want to put Christ in our life. We try to put him. But my friend, I think the important question is Christ the center of our life? That everything that we do and we say surrounds around him. What needs to be removed this year in your life? What needs to be added in your life that enhances the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God, we should allow God to alter our lives so that it will be appropriate to, for Jesus to live inside us, my friend. This year, I would encourage you to ask God to fill your soul with the words of Psalm 121. To remind you each and every moment that God is our helper, God is our keeper throughout the entire journey of life. And God will be with us, His children, until we safely arrive to our heavenly home. Let me pray. Let me pray that our help will always come from God, because He's the one who made the heavens and the earth. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, because your word is so powerful, oh God. Thank you for reminding us, oh God, to shift our eyes from ourselves, but to focus on Christ. Realize, oh God, it's only you who's able to help us in our life, in our homes, in our families, in the many decisions that we make. Help us, O Lord, to see you as our sovereign God. Help us, O Lord, to see you as the one who knows the way and who knows what is best for us. Help us, O Lord, to make you the center of our life. We thank you because you love us so much. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray.